Well, good evening, everybody. It's lovely to be able to meet together this way. And once again, as you understand, we're very thankful to be able to reach out through the website, and it's been a blessing. So we praise God for that. And this is our Wednesday night prayer meeting. We're going to give a list of things we'd like to be prayed for, but we're going to have a message after that. So if you wouldn't mind, as you go about your prayer time tonight, or when you have your prayer times, pray that as a church that God would speak to us and that we would clearly hear what he says, that we also practice the unity of believers amongst our local church, that prayer be a vital part of our church life, and that the Holy Spirit would help us all to function as we should as the living body of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and that God would shape our church for his purpose. And most importantly, we would respond to him when he moves amongst us. Now, also for prayer requests for people, I would encourage you, for those who have a church directory, to look into the church directory. The names of all the people are in there. And for those names who may not be in there, I'm pretty sure that they will come to memory and you can pray for them. But pray also for our country, for the leaders of our country, that true and correct decisions would be made concerning what's going on at the moment, and pray for churches of a like faith that they too be able to bear up under these circumstances. And they're not easy, but God is still in control no matter what this world says, or no matter what may even come into our minds at time. God is sovereign and in control of this universe, and he's created it, and he's the one who's going to work all things out according to our good and for his glory. So amen for that. So I'm going to have a word of prayer and we'll commence our message for this evening. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for knowing, Lord, that you are the one who is above all circumstances and above all situations. We thank you for that. We praise you, Lord, that your hand is at work amongst us, even though we may not see it, even though we may be wondering what's going on. The truth is, Lord, you are closer to us than we've ever known. Lord, you live right inside us, and the day of your appearing is so near now. Lord, we pray that you would find us working, watching, and waiting for the soon appearing of our great Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for the message this evening, that it would just bless our hearts, and Lord, that we would just be filled with your Spirit, and that he would just reveal to us your plan and purpose for us. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to open your Bibles to John chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verses 21 to 30, and we're going to be looking at a message and it's titled Wasted Opportunities. You know, you often read and hear about people who seem to have it all. They hold privileged positions, they have special abilities and talents, and yet they squander it all on what many would call stupid mistakes or foolish choices. Yet the reality, the reason for wasted opportunities, 9 times out of 10, is seeking a life of self-satisfaction. And the Lord's message today, we have what is without a doubt the greatest of all wasted opportunities. And it is a call upon those who call themselves Christians to examine themselves to see whether they are in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. I'll read our text this evening, John 13, 21 to 30. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saying unto him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. After the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Now no man at the table knew what intent he spake this unto him, For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. You know, Judas Iscariot, he was a man, he had the greatest of privileges, brothers and sisters, yet he wasted every opportunity. You know, his name appears last in all the biblical lists of the apostles, except in Acts chapter 1, where he isn't even mentioned. And also, every time he's spoken about in Scripture, where you find the note that he's a betrayer. He has never been one that was mentioned in any good light by the Lord. Has there ever been a bigger failure in life than Judas? 3 years he spent close to the Lord, and all he accomplished was a hard heart. You know, God took ordinary men and he made them extraordinary, yet Judas stands for us as a warning against spiritual laziness, wasted opportunities, the lust of the flesh, and a hardened heart. You know, think about it. This man, he enjoyed all the opportunities, every opportunity that the Lord can give. He was taught by the greatest of all teachers, yet he stayed an unbeliever and ended up in hell. John 17, verse 12, we read, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. His name is a form of Judah, which means Jehovah leads. You know, maybe his parents had hopes for him to be led of God, yet we know that Judas was led of the devil. Now, his call by the Lord isn't mentioned in Scripture, but we see he followed Jesus like the other disciples. He left what he was doing and followed Christ. In fact, when you think about it, in John 6, 66 to 71, he was the one who stayed with the Lord when the others left. Now, Judas had given his life to follow Jesus, but he had never given Jesus his heart. Now, many may say, but oh, Jesus chose him. Yes, he did. But Judas also had to choose to follow him. Now, before the foundation of the world, it was foreordained that Jesus would be betrayed by one of his own. The Old Testament tells us in Zechariah 13, 6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. In fact, Psalm 41, 9 tells us, yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And also Psalm 55, 12 to 14, we read those verses there. But in no way was Judas tricked, was he forced or led to betray Jesus. He acted freely and was responsible for his own actions. Judas did what he did for one reason only, his heart was evil. Now God ordained the events by which Christ would die, yet Judas completed them by his own choice. And both are true. You know, Judas meant it for evil and God meant it for good. Now Judas, he had a goal, and that was personal gain and prosperity. He never really had a love for Christ. His heart had never really been changed. And just like Pharaoh, the truth hardened his heart. Now, our first point this evening is Judas had opportunities. Think about this. He spent 3 years with the Lord. He was under the Lord's teaching. He was under the Lord's example. Judas watched the Lord's holy life. He watched his care, his love, his grace, his forgiveness. Yet Judas was never saved. He walked with the Lord. He talked with the Lord. He listened to him. But he remained unaffected by the Lord's presence in his life. Now, do you know a good godly Christian? Maybe a devoted mother, a Sunday school teacher, set apart by God, a brother in Christ who walks worthy of the Lord. Maybe you've been under the influence of a godly home. You could attend a Bible-based church teaching the truth, steadfast in God's doctrine, yet you remain unaffected. The heart is still hard. You're still unsaved after all these years. Opportunity after opportunity has been placed before you, yet there's no fruit in your life that shows Christ is at work. Attitudes haven't changed. Grace hasn't grown. Lust for the things of this world instead of a broken heart from the Lord's love at the lost state of this world. Now Judas, he was called an apostle in Acts 1:25, but it was in name only. You see, being called a Christian doesn't mean a person is one. Being a church member doesn't mean a person is a child of God or a member of God's family. You see, Jesus told us that we are either in God's family or we're a part of the devil's family, John 8:44. Now, Judas, he was with the other apostles, but it did not make him a true apostle. You know, those on the outside may not have noticed any difference between Judas and the others. It's just like when you hang around with Christians, it doesn't make a person a Christian. You know, when the Lord told Samuel to go and anoint his chosen king to replace Saul, the Lord said in 1 Samuel 6:17, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." You know, it's only those who have been born again who are in the family of God. And not everyone who is a church member are members of the Lord's body. Only those who by the new birth, who have accepted Christ as Savior on his terms, belong to his family. Do you remember Peter said to Simon the sorcerer, he professed to believe in Christ. He had even been baptized in Acts 8:13. But he said in Acts 8:21, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." You know, Judas constantly heard the Lord's teaching. He had been under the Lord's preaching for almost 3 years, but it had no effect on him, except for one thing: it hardened his heart. Do you know that people can become so used to hearing the word of God and not obeying it that it no longer has any impact on their life? You know, it's possible to become hardened to the gospel message, so hard that it falls on the wayside and the devil comes in and he steals it away. You know, Judas must have heard the Lord's teaching on sin many times. Sins that were maybe in his life, sins that reigned in his life, ruining his life, a false profession, stealing, covetousness, yielding temptation. But guess what? It made no difference to Judas. And the truth is, what effect has the Lord's teaching on our lives? What his teaching on drunkenness and lies, adultery, lust, unforgiveness, how are his teachings making any difference? Luke 8:18 tells us, "Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Now, Judas saw the power of Christ in other people's lives. He saw the lame walk, the blind see. He saw the deaf hear, dead raised to life, and yet none of that changed him. He'd seen many sinners saved, yet he himself did not have a personal salvation. You know, how often have we seen the power of Christ transform the life of a lost sinner? We see them go from certain death unto certain life eternal. We have seen them leave the old life behind. And for them, behold, all things have become new. We see them live victorious lives, yet it hardly has any effect on us. Remember again, Simon the sorcerer. He saw the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those born again, but all he could think about was using that power to gain more money for himself. Man, do you know any doctrine that teaches that sort of thing? Judas had opportunities. Secondly, Judas had grown in sin. Remember, he loved money. In John 12, remember he rebuked Mary for anointing the Lord's feet with ointment. And it says there in John 12, 4, then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Listen, this guy, he didn't think or even care about the poor. Charity began in only one place for Judas, and that was his house. He wanted the money for himself. In fact, he was a thief. You know, even before he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, he had begun to steal. Now, it may have started a little bit here, a little bit there, but that's the sort of sin that grows. And when a person who loves money, who just thinks about money all the time, a person who will do anything to get money. Now, we've got to understand money isn't evil in itself and can be used for great things and good things if it's used right. But we are warned about having a love for money. In 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. All evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, God warns us that the love of money can lead us to even robbing him. You read Malachi 3. It was the love of money that turned Judas into a thief. And Judas listened to Satan's temptation. In John 13, 2, it says to us, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. You know, and here's the old trick of the devil. He gets into the hearts of people. And Judas, instead of looking for God's way out of the temptation, Judas, just like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, Judas entertained the devil. You know, we are not to give the devil a moment of our time, not 1 second of our thoughts, not one moment of our hearing to his ways, lest we fall, and if we surrender to those temptations, fall we will. You know, there's a wonderful hymn, and it has a line in it that says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help some other to win. You know, Judas, he allowed Satan to enter into his heart. Now, the word put in verse 2 there means to cast. And it describes accurately Satan's ways. When Satan gives a suggestion, it's one of the chief ways, one of his chief tools in the heart of an unbeliever is the ground he sows. In other words, he casts his evil seeds. You know, Judas didn't become an apostate. Judas was a devil to start with. Now listen, Jesus clearly stated in John 6:70, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? They're the Lord's words. And in John 13:27, we read, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now, that's interesting that the word sop is used there. The sop was a small morsel of bread, a small piece, and at Middle Eastern meals, it was customary for the host of the meal to offer one of the guests a small morsel of bread as a gesture of special friendship. And you know, what a wonderful picture this is of Jesus still showing his love for Judas, who was about to betray him. Now, if you and I do not allow the Lord Jesus to fill our hearts, then Satan will enter in. You know, when Satan entered into Jesus, it doesn't mean for the first time. It means Satan took control. Doesn't mean he possessed him in any way. He took control of him. Now, we know as believers, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In other words, Satan, we cannot be possessed by Satan or demons, but we have to be very careful that we don't let Satan get a foothold in our lives. Now, in the parable of the empty house, Satan enters in. Why? Because the house is empty. It was swept and it was garnished in Luke 11. Now, Satan cannot enter a heart of a person unless room's made for him. So how does one make room for Satan? By yielding to him. That's what Judas led, and that led to the betrayal. Now, notice in John 13:30, it tells us, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. As in Mark 14 tells us, when Jesus was telling the disciples about the one betraying him, he said, the one that dippeth with me in the dish, verse 20 there of Mark 14, and Jesus took the bread and broke it. Now in Matthew 26:33, Jesus said, the one that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Then in verse 26, Jesus broke bread. So in our text, in John 13:26, it lets us know that as soon as Judas had taken the sop, and it says, Jesus answered, he it is whom I shall give the sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And verse 27, it reads, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went out immediately, out, and it was night. You know, it's all over for Judas now. Sin had won over his heart, and Jesus sent him away. And from what I see, after the Judas had left, the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. You know, when we come to his table, we are told to examine ourselves, unless we come as hypocrites and bring judgment upon ourselves. And I have no doubt now that Judas realized Jesus knew all about him and his plot to betray him. Verse 21 tells us, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. See, Jesus was troubled in his spirit as this was happening. Was it because a wicked Satan follower was fouling up the fellowship of true believers? Also, that Satan's influence had destroyed one who was following him? You know, immediately Judas went out from the upper room with the Lord to the Sanhedrin, and for 30 pieces of silver betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. He betrayed after Jesus took his disciples with him to the Mount of Olives. They were singing hymns. Then they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a place of prayer for the Lord, a place of refuge for him, a place of a solitude, a place Jesus went with his disciples. This is a place Judas knew well, a holy place, a place with holy memories. And what does he do? He kisses the Lord with an unholy kiss. Think about this. Judas brought sin into a place of sacred memories, a place where the Lord sweated drops of sweat like blood. And how it may be for many that we can bring sin into the church. You say, well, how? Well, we can be thinking evil thoughts. We could have wrong thoughts when we're in prayer. We can, without realizing, make fun of the word of God. See, many can betray Jesus in the garden by pretending they're his friend while all the time being at odds with him in their lives. Listen, this was not a spur of the moment thing. This was well thought out and who knows how long. Now, in verse 15 of our text, he said unto them, Matthew 26:15, he said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Not a spur of the moment. Not just a quick happening, a well thought out plan. What a picture of betrayal. Jesus bringing in the Lord's table and Judas bringing about his arrest. What a wasted opportunity this man had. Thirdly, it led to the fact that he had a bitter end. Matthew 27:5 says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself. Now, Acts 1:16 tells us, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. You know, probably the last thing we hear about Judas is that his life and death were failures of the greatest magnitude. You know, our Lord leaves us with a very chilling truth about the life of Judas in Mark 14:21. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. You see, Judas had remorse, but he was never a child of God. He was lost. And you think about the opportunities he had to be saved. Think about the opportunities he had in the warnings from the Lord himself. And what a warning that is to all out there. You know, we're told to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And this message isn't to cast doubt on anyone's salvation, but it is for us to understand that unless the heart has truly, truly been changed, how can we say one is born again? Now, Judas, he failed to listen to any of the lessons he was taught. He had a privileged position and he gave up everything for money. And if you notice, it was money in the end he just threw away. You know, he was the picture of an actor playing a part. The Bible calls that a hypocrite. And all through Christianity, there are those who seem to want to have Christ, but the bottom line is they only call themselves Christians for what they can get out of it. But what a wonderful picture we see of our Lord, of his grace and his mercy, as he was still calling Judas a friend, even in the midst of this horrible, horrible act. When Judas sold out Jesus, he sold out his own soul, and he refused to apply what he had learnt. He ignored the true light from heaven. And the reality is, folks, he is still in eternal darkness this day. What a warning for those who have never truly trusted Christ as Savior. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation that we have. We thank you, Lord, for the lesson of Judas. Lord, what a wasted life. What a wasted opportunity to receive eternal life, all because of his selfishness. Lord, all because he loved money more than his Savior, the one who came to take away the sin of the world, the one he walked with, talked with, was taught by. He let the opportunity pass by and will be forever damned in the darkness of hell. What a gracious God you are. While we live, we have opportunity. Lord, help us to be shining lights and witnesses to your grace and mercy. Lord, as we reach out to others, Lord, that they see in us a Christ-likeness in our daily walk, in our talk, and in all that we say and do, that we glorify you, Lord, before others. And we hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Oh, Lord, we're looking so forward to the day of your coming. But Lord, if we happen to pass from this life beforehand, Lord, we know without a doubt that we belong to you. And we thank you, Lord, for giving that assurance in our heart. Father, we praise thee and give you the glory for all things. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, I hope the Lord's blessed you this evening with his word. Simple message, but a very strong message on what it is to lose out. Our relationship with the Lord is based not on a head knowledge, it's on a heart transformation. And it's a wonderful thing to know without a doubt that we're truly saved and born again. Brothers and sisters, I thank you for tuning in. And we just pray that it's been a blessing to you. And we look forward to Sunday where we can once again gather around the Word of God. Till then, God bless.